Our first reading today is from the book of Joshua, 24th chapter. I sent swarms of hornets ahead of you that drove out before you the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and towns that you had not built, and you live in them. You eat the fruit of the vineyards and olive yards that you did not plant. Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
So our second reading comes from the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 14. This is actually the lectionary passage for today. So I invite you once again to listen for God's word. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you're sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. This is the word of the Lord. Well, if you happen to remember, last week we kind of looked at the very, very beginning of the story of the Exodus with, remember, the birth of Moses and how he was kind of saved by his mother and many others. Today we kind of jump to the end of the, you know, final chapter of that great story as Joshua leads the people into the promised land. It's a story of great courage. It's a story of overcoming obstacles. It's a story of faith in God, which is still very relevant today, I think, and gives us some important insights, you know, in this day and age. Well, as far as Joshua, I think we each seek to have a unique ministry in our lives, a mission perhaps that we carry out, maybe sharing the gospel or serving the world, you know, all things that God would have us seek to do. But sometimes we feel like something is holding us back or preventing us or keeping us from doing that. Well, this is the situation I think that Joshua finds himself in. During that time, God's people were in what you might call a transitional time, wondering what lay ahead of them in the future. How would God continue to care for them and prepare them for what was coming next? And Joshua himself was in a bit of transition, as we'll discover. How would he proceed into the future that God wanted for him? So there's some valuable spiritual lessons in this story from the life of Joshua, really starting from the very beginning of his story. If you go all the way back to chapter 1 and verse 1 of Joshua's book, it starts like this. It says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites." Joshua was a great leader, but he had questions early on about this task. So Joshua chapter 1 turns out to be kind of a motivational talk from God. You know, God says, be strong, be courageous. Some would say be confident. Don't be discouraged, but have courage. The spiritual guidelines come out of this if you're in an uncertain time or facing a difficult task, as Joshua was. Guidelines that certainly could apply to our life as a community of faith as well. But before we quickly get into that, why do you think Joshua lacked confidence? Well, there were two pretty good reasons. First, remember, he succeeded Moses. I mean, he was the guy that had to follow Moses. How would you like to do that? The last verse right before Joshua's book essentially says, "For no one had the mighty power or performed the mighty acts that Moses did." He was the hero of the Jewish faith. So just great. Now here's Joshua, and he has to follow that. Because of a great, glorious past, he worries about how will he handle the task that's set before him. Sometimes we do that in the church, too. We worry too much about how we did it in the past, and we think, well, we could never duplicate that. Or we try too hard to duplicate it. We wonder if we could possibly do things a little differently, or maybe even exceed what we've done before. Well, the second reason he may have struggled with confidence in the assignment that God gave to him, God said, okay, now Moses is dead. I want you to lead the people into the promised land. By the way, it's filled with at least seven enemy nations, all of them stronger and better armed than you are. And you'll go there with a group of people who've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years because they're afraid. That's your task. Now let's go. Anybody signing up for that one? Fortunately for Joshua, God gives him some direction. God gives him some motivation for his confidence. We could all use that too, I'm sure, in these unusual times. So the first spiritual lesson is that it seems that God is trying to convince Joshua not to worry about this massive task in front of him, which he's clearly worried about. Joshua is learning that fear and anxiety are a choice sometimes in the way we approach something. So what was behind all this fear and anxiety? Well, we kind of alluded to it already. Comparing yourself to others is a dangerous thing. God says, you and I are unique. We each have our own gifts, not exactly like anyone else in the world. So the danger of comparing ourselves to someone else is we can be discouraged when they seem so much better than us. Or we can feel superior since we seem so much better than them. Neither of those make for an ideal outcome. I remember this so well from our first church of student pastors. Maybe Caroline told you some stories about our church up in the mountains of Pennsylvania. Little church up there, about, you know, 20, 25 people in the 11 a.m. service on a good day. We'd take turns preaching, you know, every other week while we were full-time students also. So I remember this very, very nice lady would come into church and make a point of telling me She had just watched Robert Schuller on TV. Now, maybe some of you younger folks don't remember Robert Schuller, but very famous thing. Just watched Robert Schuller on TV from the fabulous Crystal Cathedral in California. And the message was incredible. And he interviewed TV stars in the church service. And the music, oh my gosh, the music was fantastic. And now she was here to see what I had to say. Now, I'm sure that the hour of power was great for her. But what was I as a seminary student in a little church in the mountains with an out-of-tune piano and no air conditioning supposed to do? I can't follow that act. After a few weeks, I realized it's okay. I didn't have to follow that act. I would just be myself, and God would honor that. Well, another cause of self-doubt that all of us encounter would be past failures or mistakes when we're thinking about getting involved in ministry or activity or the church or somewhere in our community. Sometimes we assume God only uses perfect people, right? But it just takes a quick look at the Bible to see that, well, that's not really true. David had issues. Jacob was a thief. Abraham, I think, gave his wife away. Saul of Tarsus was a religious persecutor before becoming the apostle of grace, and Peter, and so on. There aren't any perfect people, so that is never a barrier of getting involved with something. So God says to Joshua, don't worry. Don't be anxious about this. Well, secondly, the second spiritual principle is we know that the Bible is full of promises. God's word is all about promises, and that's a key theme in the life of Joshua. In verse 3 that I just read from, God already comforts Joshua by saying, don't worry, the promise I made to Moses is also for you. And we do remember it's called the Promised Land, right, after all. So at the end of his life, at the end of this book, Joshua looks back in chapter 23 and reflects on God's promises, saying, you know that not one of all of the good promises God gave us has failed. Not one. That's the kind of description of a life of faith. You know, not perfection, certainly not without mistakes. But in the beginning, Joshua was saying, how could I possibly do this? You know, look at the odds, look at who I have to follow, etc. And God simply says, I have a promise for your life. And Joshua chooses to accept that, and it makes all the difference for him. So what about us? What's God promising for us in these sometimes strange days that we're living through? How do we translate these promises? And what's God's promise for this community of faith as we begin to look out towards our next 50 years, right, perhaps, as we live out our discipleship in this community? Well, the third thing is, you hear people say the time comes eventually that you have to make the decision to go for it, no matter what the circumstances. Well, that happened to Joshua. He had to take the plunge, literally, because for the children of Israel to go into the Promised Land, they had to cross a river, the Jordan River. Probably not as pretty as that one up there, and a lot wider. Now, if you're a person like me from Pittsburgh, one skill you learn is which bridge do you cross? At what time of day to avoid the traffic and get where you're going? Unfortunately, there wasn't a single bridge they could use to get over the Jordan back then. The river could be 100 feet wide, or even wider during the rainy season, at least 20 feet deep. So the good news is, God tells Joshua, I'm going to get you across. You know, we forget about this one because it's much less famous than, you know, Moses with Charlton Heston and all that stuff, parting the Red Sea. After all, he was a tough act to follow. But God performs this miracle to get them across. Now, remember, with Moses, the sea parts and they walk through. But here, God makes it harder on Joshua. Of course he does, right? God says, start walking through the water first, and then the waters will recede. So they do that. Joshua and the leaders begin walking the waters up to their ankles and knees, and it's getting higher, and they're thinking, okay, any time now. We read later in the book that what God does is stop the water upstream, but the water is still rushing downstream as they're crossing. But turns out the timing is perfect. The waters recede and they cross the Jordan River. So that's a case of the first step is always the hardest. Maybe that's where the expression wade into the problem comes from. You know, that step of just starting to plan for the future, to think about, like in our case, the ministry of our church or even ourselves. We ask the question, like Joshua, how are we going to walk into the future that God has planned for us? That's a question I hope you get a chance to think about, consider in the next year with your new pastor. It's a simple question, but not an easy question. Will you be open to change, to reimagine some things, to listen for the Spirit's leading? In a sense, God asks us to take a risk, to take a step of faith. We all know if you just wait for ideal conditions, it'll never happen. So if you feel called to do something, to a ministry, to a mission, in the community even, or maybe to just share what you feel, where you feel UPB is called to go, the first step can be tough, like the Jordan River, but God asks us to take that first step. Well, the good news is we read of how it all turned out for Joshua. He saw all that God had done. After all that he went through, overcoming his fear, you know, being the person God called him to be, he states with incredible clarity his faith in one of the really most astounding faith statements in the Old Testament, when he says, essentially, You choose who you will serve, what gods you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So may it be so for all of us. Thanks be to God.